We started a new theme this year, Divine Guidance and Seeing God in 2021, and I think for all of us, how many of us have learned to appreciate life? Isn't life wonderful, and it's amazing, and all the awesome things that, you know, God allows us to see every single year, and sometimes, you know, through hardship, through COVID, through different things, you know, for some of us, we kind of our perception and our vision changes how we view life. But as you take a step back today, it's 2021, it's a new day, it's a new year, and we get to live and be a part of all that God has for us this year, and it's going to be a good year, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to be a good year. It's going to be a good year. There are babies coming soon, right? Like next month maybe or something like that? Yes? Yeah, babies are on the way, right? So that's exciting. If you have your Bibles, we're going to start in our verse, which is Proverbs 29:18. This is the New Living Translation, or actually King James Version. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And I like how the different translations read it. So King James says, where there is no vision, people perish. In the New Living, it says, when people do not accept divine guidance, then they run wild. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. And in the Amplified Version, it says, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, then people perish. In the Message Translation, it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. And I think that all of us have seen people stumble over themselves this past year, right? Even the past couple weeks. And I think for a lot of us, we've seen people, they do not have divine guidance and they don't have the redemptive revelation of God. And so we started this theme, Seeing God in 2021. And it's really, 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 really important to understand what God wants to do. What God wants to do this year. Because without seeing him, it says people run wild and they lose sight. They lose sight. Isn't sight important? Right, Mr. Joel? Isn't sight important? For Joel, who's struggled over the years with different eye issues, that's why he's happy to see us, because he can see us. Right? He can see us, and it's good to be seen, right? Our main text tonight comes out of Genesis chapter 22. Starting in verse 1, and my title tonight is called Open Book. Ask your neighbor if they're an open book. Are you an open book? My title is called Open Book. Open Book. And this is going to be fun. Remember, don't touch your glasses and no paper till later. You want to save it for later. Genesis 22:1 says this. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith, and he said, Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. And the next morning, Abraham got up early, and he saddled his donkey and two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire, a burnt offering, and set out for the place that God had told him about. And on the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up, and he saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told his servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, and while he himself carried the fire and the knife, as the two of them walked along together, Isaac turned to Abraham, and he said, Father, yes, my son. Abraham replied, we have the fire and the wood. The boy said, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac, and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. And at that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy. The angel said, do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named that place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. So tonight, as we break down this story and as we paint the picture, it says that God tested Abraham. And you have to take a step back for a second and say, what kind of test is this? How many of us, for some of us in this room, some of us enjoy tests. I'm not one of those who enjoy taking tests, but I am sure there are a few in this room who enjoy sitting down, writing it out, taking the tests, getting A's, all those kinds of things, right? And how many of us have learned in life there's so many different kinds of tests? There's verbal tests, there's written tests, there's open book tests, essay tests, right? And you look at this test here tonight, you see that Abraham is being tested to the max, right? Because of what God is asking him. This is a different kind of test. This is crazy because God is asking Abraham to sacrifice his son. And not only is his only son, it's a son he waited 100 years. 100 years. And that's crazy in itself that Abraham was 100 years old and him and Sarah had a baby, right? That's crazy. All the things crazy. He was older and he waited such a long time for the son, this promised son. He loved him. And I love too how in this story doesn't mention Sarah, unfortunately. But if she heard what God had asked Abraham to do, I'm sure she wouldn't be very happy about it, right? And you think about tests for a second. How many of us are good at passing tests? And how many of us just barely get by? Even sometimes, I don't know about you, but even open book tests are difficult. A lot of times there's a time limit. You know, you're under pressure. You're under the gun. Somebody's watching you, you know, from a distance, but they're still watching you, looking at you. And it's difficult. You know, the Bible talks about tests for us as well. And in this story, Abraham was tested in such an amazing way. But God also wants to test us as believers. And the reason that he tested Abraham, he wanted to see how devoted, how willing to obey this crazy thing that God is asking. Would Abraham be willing to do this one very thing, the one thing that he loved more than anything in life? Romans 5:3 says this, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials and tests. We know that they help us develop endurance. Endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. We know how dearly God loves us because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. Tests, trials, problems, situations, they create endurance inside of us. They create character, and character, hope of salvation. You know, as we look around in 2021, there is so many people who still do not have any hope. There's so many people who still lost inside. There's still so many people inside who say, I'm trapped, I'm lost, I'm confused, and I want to break out of the cage. There are still so many people around in our world today who they feel so, it's crazy inside. And so God allows situations, God allows problems, he allows trials, he allows tests, because there's something he wants to produce in us. And I wonder, as we take a step back, what is God trying to produce in me today? Ask yourself, what is God wanting to produce in me today? What does God want to produce in me in this moment? I love in the story how Abraham, he was so prompt, he was so quick. He goes to bed, wakes up in the morning, and he sets out. He didn't wait a week. He didn't say, I'm going to sleep on it. God, I'm going to think about it. But he goes right away. He didn't put him off. And even for us, think about this, what God had asked him here to sacrifice his son, right? The promised son. Not his only son, but the promised son. Think about this that he's asking. And for us in this room, how many times has God asked us to do things and yet we put God off? How many times has our spouse asked us to do things and we put it off, right? How many of us have friends and family members, they ask and they ask and they ask for us to do something and we put it off? And even for us in here, God asks us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. He didn't just say to the disciples, he said to us as well, soon as you receive hope, soon as you receive salvation, I need you to go. And that doesn't mean you have to go to Africa. That doesn't mean you have to go to the Philippines. But you have to have a spirit of going, ready to be mobile and move at any given moment. So how many of us, we have a hard time sometimes being prompt, being quick about what God asks us to do, to go pray for someone, to go lay our hands on someone, to pray for healing, to go pray with someone who's lost and sick and lost their way. You know, you look at, I'll never forget when I was in the Philippines doing missionary work, and we were there and we're getting ready to leave, and we were with a group called Youth with a Mission, and we're taking communion. And as we're taking communion, there was a lady who said, you know what, I don't want to take communion because we were passing, you know, bread around. You know how we take communion sometimes, or we used to in the day, right? Which we will again. But so this lady stands up and says, I don't want to take communion because if you touch the bread, then I don't want to touch it. It's gross. And this is like 20 years ago, right? 20 years ago. And this Filipino guy, and I'll never forget, he looks at her and says, you know, I'm sure glad Mother Teresa did not say that to the lepers, that she got down on her knees and served. You know, as we've gone through a year of craziness, absolutely crazy, and people being sick and afraid to be sick, I just have to think of Mother Teresa, who was not afraid to serve lepers, not afraid to serve a leper. She was willing to serve every single person that she could. She was willing to give her life, even if it cost her life. She was willing to give it. That God had made a difference in such a drastic way in her life that she was willing to give herself, to be prompt and quick, just like Abraham in this story. And you have to think as a parent, how could you? How could you, God, how could you even, God, ask me to do this? God, how could you, couldn't you ask me to kill our rat or our dog? Couldn't you ask us to kill, you know, Billy Bob over there, but my son, our son? God, aren't you asking a little too much here? So the next morning they get up and they travel roughly around 50 miles. And that's a long time, right? Back in the day, there was no Suburbans and Hummers and cars and all those things. They traveled over 50 miles to do what they had to do. And as they get to this point, as they get to this mountain, Abraham turns to his servants, and I like how he says to his servants, I need you to stay here. Me and my son, we're going to travel on, but you're going to stay here. We'll be back in a few days. And sometimes what we don't realize, there are things that God asks us to do. That does not mean that we have to bring the whole entire world and the whole entire tribe in what God is asking us to do. God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son, and he took, at this point, only his son. He didn't need to take everybody. This was a situation that his son and him only were going to be a part of. And there are things that God asks you to do, and sometimes, you know what? It's private, and it's just for you. He turns to his son Isaac, and he says, I need you to carry the wood. And, you know, as fathers and as men, most of us know that when you have sons, that is one thing that you appreciate. It's your turn to carry the heavy stuff. You know, I get to watch. I like to see you sweat and your arms shake a little bit. You get to do the heavy lifting. What I find awesome about this part is Isaac in this story is asked to carry wood, and he has no idea at this moment that he's the one who's going to be placed on the wood. We know at the end, because we read it all the way to the end, that he does not get sacrificed, but he has no idea what's going on. And he's carrying wood. He's carrying the wood that his father is going to take in a minute, and he's going to cut up the wood, and he's going to put it down, and he's going to build an altar, and he's going to put his son on there, and he even ties him up. He ties up his son and even raises up a knife. And for this young boy, he's carrying the wood that he's going to be placed on. And you think about another man who had to carry his own wood. We know John 19:16 says, Pilate turned to Jesus, over them to be crucified, the crucifixion. and they took Jesus away. Carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place of the skull. And this picture here of Isaac is also a picture of Jesus. Isaac is being asked to carry the wood which he would be sacrificed on. Jesus also, we know that in the story, Jesus does get some help from Simon, but he also carries the wood on which he will be sacrificed. You know, Jesus said, Luke 9:23, he says to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. And it just as Isaac had to carry the wood on which he'd be sacrificed, and just as Jesus had to carry the wood on which he would be sacrificed, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, if you want to find the light that leads to life, and this sounds crazy, and it's hard for our minds to grasp this concept here, where Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily. Take up your cross, the cross, which is a symbol of death. How do we have the best relationships in the whole entire world? You take up your cross. How do we have the best families and marriages in the whole wide world? We learn to take up our cross. What is the cross? It is saying, I'm willing to sacrifice, I'm willing to give to make anything better. I'm willing to give of myself, even if it hurts my pride. And how many of us love hurting our own pride? How many of us, when our pride is hurt, or when our stomach and appetite is hurt, how many of us, we get grouchy, we get hurt. When our pride gets hurt, how many of us, the claws come out? How many of us, soon as something happens, and it seems like we're in danger, it's, we're ready. I've got a knife on my side, or I've got my gun. Jesus said, if you want to be my follower, you have to take up your cross. And as Isaac had to learn to carry the wood for the sacrifice, Jesus carried the wood. He's asking you to carry the wood as well. He's asking you to carry the wood to remind yourself, to make me better, to make me better, to make you better takes constant sacrifice. You know, how many of us, if we Google, you know, how do we make ourselves better? How do we become better people? How do we become better men? How do we become better, you know, ladies? How do we become this and better this, better this? Most of the times, they tell you things that totally builds yourself up in your brain. And a lot of times, what it does is it adds pride. The world is so opposite of what the Bible says. The culture is so opposite of what the Bible says. Jesus said, if you want to become a better person, you have to take up your cross. You have to deny yourself and follow me. He says, if you hang on to your life, then you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, then you will save it. And for us, how many of our minds, we just can't wrap around that concept? If you try to hang on to your life, and how many people are trying to hang on to their life right now? And if you try to hang on to your life, he says, you're going to lose it. But if you give your life for my sake, then you're going to find real life. One of the hardest things in the world to grasp is this in Christianity. And I'll be honest, I think that a lot of pastors do a disservice to members and congregation because how many people overlook some parts of the Bible? I believe in the whole Bible from the beginning to the end, from Genesis to Revelation. And in the Bible, you're going to find, you know what, you're going to find prosperity. So I do believe that we should talk and we should preach about prosperity because God does want us to prosper, right? And that's where it's hallelujah, yes, Jesus. And there's healing in the Bible. So yes, I think there's times where we have to talk about healing because God still heals today, right? God heals. But you know what is also in the Bible? Death. And why is it the one thing that as Americans we're so afraid of? So afraid to die. So afraid to lose. But it's the one thing that Jesus said, and it's a concept spiritually that he's trying to get us to grasp. If you really want to find life, it's not in living. If you want to find what real life is, it's in dying. It's in giving yourself. As Abraham ties up his son, I have to think what starts to run through his mind. It doesn't say that he makes any comments, but he's got to be looking at his dad and be thinking, Dad, what in the heck? What, Dad, what are you doing? doing? My dad has lost it. He's over 100 years old. He belongs in the Looney Tune farm. He's crazy. What is my dad doing? I thought he was normal, but what is going? I mean, to think about being a boy and watching your dad tie you up, even tie you up and even to raise up a knife, that is crazy. I have to wonder, he's got to be thinking, my dad, I think I'm going to disown him. I'm going to kick him out of the house. We're going to make him sleep outside the tent tonight. He doesn't get to stay inside. I wonder what is running through this young man's brain as he's thinking, man, my dad, what is he really doing? And you know what parents don't realize sometimes? We sacrifice our kids on the altar of life without realizing it when we're not teaching them biblical principles. And it's hard. There's no perfect parent. I'm not a perfect parent, right? We may have perfect parents in here, maybe, right? I don't know. But how many of us know? None of us in here are perfect, right? We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But sometimes we allow other people, teachers, and teachers are awesome and amazing people. Professors, awesome and amazing people, right? Bosses, of course, those are awesome and amazing people. But sometimes what we don't realize is we're letting other people raise our kids. And even kids who are past the age of 18, we as parents sometimes don't realize we're letting other people teach our kids. But the problem is what they're teaching our kids. It's junk. It's junk. And what Abraham teaches his son here is the first and greatest commandment, and that is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And it's something probably at this age that Isaac couldn't grasp. My dad loves God more than he loves me. My dad is in crazy, he must be crazy in love with God because he's willing to sacrifice me. The first and greatest commandment to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I'm sure there is frustration. I'm sure there's some bitterness going on in Isaac. I'm sure that in the amount of time that he laid there, there's bitter feelings and there's anger. Could have been a little hate that was rising up thinking, I just want to hate you. But at the end of the day, and as he moves forward as a man, he knows, number one, my dad loves God more than anything in life. And as you look at this story, and as you look at this family, God blessed Abraham. But as God blessed Abraham, Isaac learned to follow in Abraham's footsteps. So then God blessed Isaac. And it continued on. And the blessing continued on. But why did it continue on? Because his sons and those who followed, they learned to obey as well. Doesn't mean they were perfect, right? Abraham made lots of mistakes. Isaac made mistakes. They lied, right? We know that some of the men in the Bible, they enjoyed more than one wife, right? That's another bad thing, right, men? And that's what the other thing I love about the Bible is God didn't leave anything out. There's stories in here, and you're thinking, why in the heck is it in here? It should be on HBO or Cinemax. This is crazy. These guys, this happened a few thousand years ago, and they're disgusting. But you know what? God left it in there because there were real people doing real things, and there are some who found him and some who ignored him. First and greatest commandment, Abraham taught his son in this story, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. As soon as he raised up the knife, an angel stops him and he says, stop. Now I know that you fear God. Now I know that you're willing to sacrifice and give this promised son that you waited a long time for. Now I know that you trust God, that you revere God as your Lord. Now that I know that you're willing to worship God. Sorry, there's an ant on here. Gotta love ants. Sometimes as little devils. Now that I know that you fear God, you know, and in fearing God, you know what actually happens? Some of our own will gets broken down. The Bible says when two people get married And next month's Valentine's Day. I was listening to, I don't know if you listen to Erwan, but I was listening to Erwan today, and the guy was saying he found the perfect gift for his wife. And it was beef jerky in a harp-shaped box. And he said he bought all six containers that were there. So men, that's, he suggested for all of us, that's the perfect gift for our wives this year is a box of beef jerky, right? Is that what you ladies want for Valentine's Day, is a box of beef jerky? Huh? Turkey jerky? Okay, so turkey jerky. We'll do turkey jerky instead. Turkey jerky. Abraham, in this story, says he had feared God above all else. And in fearing God means that he is accepting everything that God says and willing to do it. Willing to do it. Ecclesiastes says, this is the whole story. Here's my final conclusion. Fear God, obey his commands. This is everyone's duty. Fear God, obey his commands. It is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. You should fear God because he will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing. God is always watching. Why should we not run into sin? Because God is watching. Why should we obey the word? God is watching. You know, it's one of those things when, you know, parents have intuition when their kids make mistakes. You just know when your kid's being stupid. Right? You just have this understanding when your son or your daughter is about to do something and make a big mistake. You just know it and you just feel it. God is watching all the time. God sees every single thing that you do, whether it's in the dark or light. God is watching you. God is watching you because he cares for you and he loves you. And that should put a holy fear inside of us that it makes us, motivates us to not do anything stupid. Because there's a lot of stupid people doing stupid stuff today. Abraham calls the mountain of provision. God provided this sacrifice. And as Abraham pulled his son off there was a ram that came up. And he gets the ram that was stuck in the thicket and he put him on there. But you know what's crazy about this mountain of provision? It is also the same mountain that Jesus was crucified on. And what's crazy about this story, what is so amazing, what's so crazy about this story, he asked Abraham to sacrifice his son, but it was only a test to see the devotion, to see the faith. Could Abraham obey me when I'm asking for his baby? When I'm asking, could Abraham give when I'm asking for his baby? Could Abraham do everything that I ask of him? Could he give me everything? Could he lay down his life? Could he lay down his son's life, his wife? Could he lay down and give everything? Fully knowing that he was not going to have to sacrifice Isaac. But God indeed did sacrifice Jesus on the same exact mountain. So where Abraham got to pull his son off the altar, God didn't have that privilege. He had to leave Jesus on the cross. He had to leave Jesus on the cross because Romans 3:20 says this, 3:23, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus. He freed us from the penalty of our sins. God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for our sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. The sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in the times past. And how crazy and amazing is God in this story that what he did not force and what he did not make Isaac and Abraham go through to the very end, he did with his son Jesus on the exact same end, on the same mountain, because he provided the sacrifice. He provided his son and he made a way so that all of us could be free, so that all of us could have salvation in Jesus Christ. You know, you think about the Ten Commandments. How many of us know the Ten Commandments? You know, that you shouldn't lie, you shouldn't cheat, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't play cards, and you shouldn't play poker, you shouldn't hang out with those who listen to rock music. No, that's not the Ten Commandments, right? But how many of us know that in the Ten Commandments, there's 10 things that God listed out? 10 things. And for every one of those things, all of us understand that if you ever lied, if you ever put anything above God, if you ever had an idol above God, how many of us have just broke one of those commandments? If you ever coveted or envied something that somebody else has? Wow, that's a nice Lamborghini driving down the road. Wish that was in my driveway, right? Or that's a nice Tesla. Wish I had that car. How many of us have ever envied and coveted what someone else has had? And in that instant, how many of us have broken the commandments over and over and over again? Because we as people, like Paul says here in Romans, we're all broken people. We're all broken. We all fall short. We all fall short of God's standard. We all fall short of this standard. So because we fall short of the standard, he sacrificed his son. Romans, or 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become the sacrifice, the substitute, so that you do not have to pay. How many of us, if we had a $20 million debt, if you had a $20 million debt, and most of us were thinking, I would just take that money, and I'd like $20 million, and just going to run to Mexico. But if you had a $20 million debt, and you could not pay that debt, and they wanted to come after your family, your kids, everything that you had, and take it away from you, how horrible would it be to lose absolutely everything that you love? How horrible would it be to lose every kid, every possession, your favorite bike, your favorite scooter? How many of us, how horrible would it be to lose our kids, our sons, our daughters, our spouses? This is what God did for us. And sometimes we don't appreciate enough that he gave his son as a sacrifice, the substitute for our sin, the substitute for our sin, so that we could be made perfect. When you ask Jesus into your heart, God doesn't view you and see all the sin and mistakes that you've ever made. When you ask Jesus into your heart, he sees you now as a perfect human being. Never, never saying a bad word, which never none of us have ever done. Right? Never seen any mistakes. Never seen any sins. Because this is the blood of Jesus washes and covers over all of our sins. What God asked Abraham to do, he did for us. God demonstrated his love. And sometimes we have to take a step back and just say, God, thank you. God, thank you. So tonight we're going to have an open book test. If you can take your pen and your piece of paper, we're going to answer some questions here real quick. Now, I'll be honest, there's one in here that I did not give you an exact answer for, but everything else is an open book test. You can look in the Bible. You can, if you remember what we talked about, you're going to just take this open book test here really quick. There's only 7 questions. There's no pressure. You have 45 seconds. Just kidding. We're having an open book test tonight at church. We have some open book test music going now. It's like standing in the elevator. Take off the pressure a little bit. It's only 7 questions. All right, so if we start strolling back through here, we're going to give ourselves a grade. Now, we know, number one, God actually didn't give us the exact age, but we know that Abraham was over 100 years old. His wife, it was around 130-ish when she passes on here shortly in the next chapter. So we know that he's somewhere between 100 and 130. Number two, it says, where did God tell Abraham to go and sacrifice his son on the Mount of Moriah? Number three, how long did it take Abraham? How long did Abraham wait to go? He went the next morning, right? Those who are just filling in the answers now, of course, you're going to get an A+. What did he bring for the sacrifice? We know he brought rope. We know he brought wood. We know he brought fire, because someone's always carrying a lighter. And he brought a knife. Who carried the wood for the sacrifice? We talked about that. Isaac, his son, right? Number six, did Abraham sacrifice Isaac? No. Spiritually, yes. Physically, no. What did God provide as a substitute for the sacrifice? He provided a ram, a Dodge Ram. Absolutely, we love those rams. So tonight, and you put your paper back on the ground so it doesn't get you all crazy here. My title tonight's called Open Book. And I asked you when we started to ask your neighbor if they're an open book, but it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God. The starting video was called Life. See, because God's given us life, and he's given us all the answers in an open book test. He's given us the answers already. He's given us the principles to live by. He's given us great examples in the Bible. He's given us people, men and women, that we should fashion our lives after. Great examples who set and paved the way for us. And in this open book test life, in this open book test that God has given to us, most of us, we just took this quick, easy test, and you probably got an A. If you were in class, I'm sure most of you could have figured that out and got an A. But if you were to take a step back and say, through the hard things that God has tested me on, what grade have I got? And we look at this story alone, one of the hardest subjects to talk about in church in the Bible, because it's not fun to tell you that you need to die and you need to crucify yourself, you need to stop being selfish and stubborn and you're thick-headed and this, that, and the other, that you need to carry your cross, right? Some of the hardest things to talk about. But God sometimes allows things for his children as a good dad. God sometimes allows tribulations and tests because he's trying to produce something inside of us. And so I wonder how many of us, unfortunately, we fail that test over and over and over again, because when he's trying to break us down from being selfish, how many of us cave into, no, I'm protecting myself. No, I'm looking out for myself. How many of us, when God is trying to remove and shatter the things that are around us, because he's saying, I'm trying to get through to you. I'm trying to get into your heart, mind, and soul. I'm trying to stretch your faith. I'm trying to help you grow from glory to glory. I'm trying to see and give you all the awesome and amazing things, all the prosperity and blessing that I have for you. But before you get to the prosperity and blessing, there's one thing that I have to get you to see. And I wonder how many of us, and I'll be honest, I know I fail all the time when it's so easy to be selfish. It's so easy to be consumed with self. It's so easy to be consumed with what I need to accomplish for the day, what I need to get done. How many of us, it's my schedule, it's my time, it's my turn, it's me, 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 me. And so over and over and over again, how many times does God have to put us through tests, trials, tribulations, because you have accepted Jesus as the gift and the Savior. But now that you are saved, God wants to grow you. But how many times do we want to fail the open book test over and over and over again? And you think for a second, well, maybe when I get to be 60 and retired, God's not going to test me anymore. Abraham's 100. So guess what? If you are a Christ follower, he's going to continue to test you to your dying day. He's going to continue to push you. He's going to continue to push and push and push and push because he wants you to get it. He wants you to get what it is that he's trying to teach us in this open book test. Genesis 22:15, after the story, after what happened with Isaac and Abraham, the Lord says, because you have obeyed me, and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants and beyond number, like the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. And tonight, God doesn't want you to think about other people. God doesn't want you to think about anybody else, why they are not obeying God. God is asking you tonight, is there something that you are not obeying him in his word, in this open book test? Because it is the F grade that is stopping us from the blessing that's around the corner. If you want to be fully blessed, if you want to accept the blessing that he has for you, living is not living. It's dying and giving and letting God break down my pride and my selfish ways so that he can resurrect new life inside of me. You know, we close tonight. We're going to wrap up here in a minute. You know, I was thinking this week, there's a verse that popped in my head, Mark 13:12, and it says, a brother will betray brother, and this is talking about in the end days, and a father will betray his own child, And the children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. And everyone will hate you because you are my followers. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And what made me think of this story is what's happened in the last, you know, month in politics, in our government, and even in 2020 with COVID. Because how many people we've seen try to hang on to life and save their life. And yes, God wants you to live and be alive, and he wants you to enjoy yourself and look in the mirror and enjoy what he's given you and be happy about being you and happy when you got a new gray hair and happy when that wrinkle was there, it faded away, it's gone, and happy when you're eating donuts and they don't seem to stick to your hips and all those things, right? He wants you to enjoy yourself, right? He wants you, but no donuts in 2021, right? Sorry. Yes? Yeah. Okay, so there's donuts in 20. I thought there was none, but all right, I guess there still is. But what God put on my heart, this verse, is I've seen this year how easy people will betray other people. And to be afraid to die, to be afraid to lose life, one of the most horrible things in the whole wide world. But in the last days, it's going to get even more intense than what we've seen in this past year. And now I can see easily why Jesus said, a brother will betray his own brother because he doesn't want to die. And even a father will betray his own child because he doesn't want to die. And children will rebel against their parents. I'm just like to do anyway. But children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. Everyone will hate you because you are my followers. And so as people, as Christians, as the body of Jesus Christ, in the last days, in the new season that we are living in, it's different, and we're not going to go back to where it was. We can't go backwards. God doesn't go backwards, right? He gives us the past to remind us and teach us for what's ahead, but we have to move forward in what God has given us to move forward into. And it's 2021, and there is a day of persecution. There's a day of intense persecution. COVID is going to be a joke compared to what's coming. And for all those who feared losing their lives, something more gross and grotesque is coming. And so as parents, and if you have little kids, it's hard to think about what is really, really coming when it gets to the end. And everyone in the whole wide world knows that the end is coming. There are men in other countries, all they do is train for the last battle. There are people who are trained killers because all they are doing, they're being trained for the very last battle. It is coming, and maybe we see it in our lifetime, and maybe we don't. But one thing that God wants us to do is be ready to pass the open book tests and endure whatever may come as Christians. He said, those who endure to the end are those who are going to be saved. Not those, Jesus didn't say those who, you know, said the sinner's prayer. Notice he didn't say that in here. He didn't say those who pray, you know, 50 times a day, which is a good thing. Those who endure to the end, those are the ones who will be saved. How do we endure to the end? One of the verses we read in the beginning, how do you get endurance? By passing the tests that God has put you through. Going through tests and trials, tribulations, creates endurance. 2020 was a test. And some of us, we passed barely. We passed barely. But some of us, not so much. Because how many of us have been frustrated? How many of us felt like cussing when we didn't actually do it, right? How many of us said things we shouldn't have said? How many of us did things that we shouldn't have done, right? How many of us, it just was a crazy, weird year. It's an open book test life that God's given to you, but he's given you the tools and the resources in the Bible so that you can follow them, but you can also teach your kids hell on earth is coming. And that doesn't sound very nice to teach our kids. But if we don't warn them, who are they going to hear it from? And if we don't warn our kids, and if we don't warn our neighbors and warn our friends, we have to as Christians. And again, it may not happen in our lifetime, right? Maybe it happens in our kids' lifetime. But they have to be prepared. And if we don't prepare them, who will? Stand with us. We're going to close and pray. And I want to end on a happy note. That wasn't so happy. But as we stand, and we're going to sing a song here, There's a few things that God points out in this story, and I think they're all happy and they have a good feeling and a good ending to it. If we give God what he asks, the return will always be far greater than what we can dream. If we give God what he asks, the return is far greater, no matter how hard it, because it does seem hard at times what he's asking us to do. If we only do what comes easy for us as Christians and believers, I don't know if we're hearing the voice of God, right? If we do only what comes natural to us, if we give God what he asks, the return is far greater than what we can dream. The spiritual benefits of blessing outweigh the sacrifice. The spiritual benefits of blessing outweigh the sacrifice every single time. There was a ram that was substituted for Isaac. Jesus was substituted for your sin and my sin. Tonight I didn't ask you to put on your glasses, and I didn't want you to. I just wanted you to hold your glasses tonight, your 3D glasses. And you might be thinking tonight as we get ready to pray, why did I have my 3D glasses if he's not asking me to wear them? What's the point? And the point is, you don't have to put on the glasses that the world gives you. And you don't have to put on what the culture and the world and people are telling you to do. You don't have to see through their eyes. God's asking you to see through his eyes. God's asking you to see through his book, the Bible. God's asking you to see through his story. You don't have to judge and view things as everyone in the whole entire world has seen it on CNN and Fox News. No, you have to open up the Bible and see it through how God has written it down. So tonight we didn't put the glasses on because the choice is yours. You do not have to put on the world's glasses, and you don't have to put on fear, and you don't have to be afraid to die, and you don't have to be afraid of anything, because God will give you the strength and courage to face every single thing that you face. There are great days ahead, and there are great blessings that are just around the corner. And the only thing that we have to do is just get better at obeying. You know, I can remember back when I was younger, and my dad used to run sound when I was a young kid. And you know, back in that day, we would go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I think Thursday night for practice. And there were times where I definitely, as a young kid, did not want to go. But my sweet dad, you're going. You're going. And I don't think my dad realized. He just felt like he, as a dad, and being a good dad, that's what he needed to say. But he was taking me to the place where God wanted me to be. And the place where, for me, where I found myself, because this is what God has for me. But you take a step back and you see that there's a generation of kids who they beg mom and dad, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go hear the pastor. I don't want to go hear the youth pastor. Why? Because their hearts were rebellious. And you know what happened to that generation? Look around the world today. There's something that happens in church. It doesn't happen anywhere else. You can feel loved, you can feel hated, all in the same place, right? You can feel good and you can feel horrible all at the same time. You can hear the word of God, and it just doesn't happen anywhere else. It really doesn't happen on your couch at home. It doesn't. It doesn't happen by watching, you know, 10 different pastors on TV. It happens by being accountable to brothers and sisters in a body, in a church, in a building, in a place. And just like my dad said to me as a kid, no, you're going. It's time to get back to that mindset. We don't let kids slip, because if you let your kids slip, they will be rebellious. They will. Kids, and all of us, when we were young, we all had rebellious hearts, right? Some of us still do, right? You have to go. It's good for you.